We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Hall & Oates.
I'm so excited for tonight.
Your artist of the day.
Cannot wait to go.
Oh, I love that song. And it's funny, Train is opening for Hall & Oates.
Well, they're co-headliners. I've heard Train open.
I think it's going to be a great, it's going to be a great show. I'm excited that you get to go. I'm excited that it's inside because once again, the skies are looking a little mad. I don't know why we're listening to weather music, but it makes me think there's something severe going on outside.
No, nothing severe. I know.
You know, I have been doing this a long time, like 25 years, 26 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is about this particular tragedy that had me physically sick.
Have you ever been on the boats?
Last night. I have not. I didn't even know what a duck boat was. When I first saw the alert, I thought it was some kind of hunting boat. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Until the alert started coming in and I was seeing, oh my God, these are going to be tourists. And I remember Chris walked in last night, Kara, and I felt sick. Like I just had a sick pit in my stomach feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we can all, to some extent, empathize when it comes to a situation like this, because you can so easily see yourself or your grandma or your family saying, yeah, let's pay the $35 and go do the touristy thing in Branson. I've never done it. You have?
I did it about a decade ago. We had a great time, but I mean, they're lumberous, big old hunks of metal that are from the 1940s in most cases. Yeah. You know, these are just old military things that have been converted to a tourist attraction.
Sure, sure.
And so when I saw the story, I was like, oh my God. You instantly know that it's just not going to be good when they're looking at those kind of waves.
Yeah. So I have a lot of things to say today about this, and I know that you do too. And I know that Jamie and Wicket spend a lot of time talking about this on the midday show, but we also have new people joining us. And so I don't know that we're going to do all day talking about what happened. We will provide the live updates from the Stone County Sheriff's Department as those come in. Mm-hmm. My husband is actually arriving as we speak. He left this morning to go. And if he's there and can bring us something new or different or is talking to someone who can add something to the conversation, he is aware that we would like to have him call in as well just because he's there. But I think one of the things I want to talk about, and I know Jamie and Wicket covered a lot, but part of my just rage last night was over the filming of those deaths. And have we had people film deaths before? Yeah. Yeah, people took videos during 9/11. People take videos during car wrecks. Mm-hmm. People take videos during fires. I get that to some extent. That rubbed me so badly last night. And we've talked about it in the newsroom, Kara, that there were people dining and enjoying their chicken fried steak and carrying on this bizarre kind of play-by-play as these people were dying. And I want to ask two things today, and I think it's two separate hours. When you see something like this happen, I think we all, just human nature, we all ask, okay, what would I do? if I was on that boat, what would I do? We know that 17 people are dead, but 14 survived.
Yes.
So what did those 14 do that the 17 did not? And I think it's natural to say, especially, Kara, since you've been on one of those boats, what would I do?
Yes, absolutely.
I think that narrative changes if you have a child with you, if you have a baby with you, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a photo on Facebook that a friend of mine posted. They were on that lake several months ago with their probably one-year-old and four-year-old. Well, that definitely is going to change your plan of action. God forbid if you were on that boat. If something like that happened, what would you do?
And most people don't think about that.
And they don't think about it. Of course they don't think about it. So that's one of the things I want to talk about, because I do think there is a really interesting conversation about groupthink today and why people do what they do in emergency situations and why other people do nothing. And I have gotten into some really heated conversations about this on Twitter, on Facebook. A friend of mine, someone I really respect that I worked with for years at Channel 5, vehemently disagreed with my notion that it was a horrifying thing to continue your dinner and tape that boat as it went down. And I've heard a lot of people say, even Kara, you said in the newsroom, like, what would you do?
Yeah, absolutely. What could you do? Because in a situation like that, it's storming. The waves are 6 feet tall. They're however far away. You're in a situation where you're not equipped, and especially if you're not trained. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
And so I wonder, like, what would you do? Because the people that I was just so disgusted by last night, and I wasn't the only one, her Facebook page has since been moved to private. She removed the video in question. It's, of course, gone viral. Everyone's seen it.
And honestly, that video, it seems really callous, especially knowing what happened ultimately.
Right.
Because...
play just the first... Rodney, you have just the first little bit of it, and you can share with the people what I've labeled the video.
Would that be idiot bystander?
Yeah, that's it. You're going to hear a lot of restaurant background noise. Okay, so that video goes on for 5 minutes and like 15 seconds. Oh, those poor people. Pass the salt. That sparked such rage in me last night. And I do understand anyone who has a different opinion. I really do. Saying, well, what are they supposed to do? You know, one of the things I said to my friend was, well, I know what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't just sit there and keep eating my dinner as that boat went down. I just wouldn't. Now,
I mean,
would I dive in with a knife in between my teeth and a life jacket on with two kids under each arm? No, I wouldn't do that either. But I know what I wouldn't do, and I would not physically be able to sit there and watch what was happening to that boat. With all of those people on the boat.
Yeah, but at this, I really don't think that those folks had an idea of how serious it was and how much danger those people were in until it started going down. Exactly. Until it started tipping. And then I think that's where they stopped the recording too. To be fair to them.
It's interesting because we know that they sat there and continued their meal. There's a young guy, because I think most people would think, okay, if you're going to record it and like kind of do a play by play, that's going to be like some millennial. Right? No, this woman looks about 60 years old. The millennial jumped in the water, and we have an audio clip, Rod, from the witnesses who actually went out onto the deck. They were on the same boat that woman was. Mm-hmm. The staff started going in to help these people, and the millennial went in and dragged out an unconscious pregnant woman.
In fairness... wouldn't you expect a young person who is physically fit and not the 60-year-old lady to jump in and try to swim and help.
Do you know what he said? He said, when we first saw the boat, I picked up my phone. Like, everyone's first reaction in this day and age is, oh, pick up your phone, let's record this. And he said, right away, I just knew this is bad. He said, I just knew this was bad. He put down the phone, went out with the staff just to see if he could help. And it turns out he dragged in. Now, she was unconscious. She was pregnant. He said, I do not know whether she survived. That other first responders were there almost immediately and took her, started doing life-saving measures. But I am going to ask this hour, what would you have done? And if your answer is absolutely nothing, what could you do? Fine. But these guys helped. The 20-year-old helped.
So we were on the boat. We saw the two duck boats were struggling. We decided that maybe this is a little too much for us. We need to go back to our seats. So we went to our seats. Minutes later, we heard that from the captain that one of the boats actually tipped. So all of the staff started rushing over, rushing around, getting life jackets, getting AEDs, getting as much as they could to try to save as many people as they could. At that moment, we decided, well, we just can't sit here. We need to go help. So we went to the front of the boat, and we were on the second level. And we actually seen two workers who actually jumped in the distance, getting saved by a local person in their boat. And then all of a sudden we saw this lady who was in the water, unconscious. I rushed down to the first level to help. A couple other people jumped in the water. We got her on the boat. She was unconscious. I was about ready to start CPR, and then the EMT showed up.
So if you want to say no one jumped in to help, that is not true. He did. Everybody is not him. Even Dan in the newsroom said everybody is not that guy. I'm curious, are you that guy? Or is this just a big old groupthink thing where no one else is getting up, so you don't get up, so the guy next to you doesn't get up, and you talk about where you're from, and you enjoy your chicken fried steak? 576-7798. Scott is off today. We'll be back Monday. You can text me at 22980. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome back. We'll just get right back into it. Just 1 minute ago, a couple of news outlets have released a story after speaking to a woman named Sonia Malasky. She's from Oklahoma, but she is in town at Table Rock Lake with family. And I want to read you part of her comments. There's been a lot said about how much time did they have, should they have known. And we'll get into that later because I believe the owners and or captains absolutely had enough time to get off that water. But Sonia says she watched the amphibious tour boat attempt to get to shore for 11 minutes. She boarded the Branson Bell showboat. That was the one where the offending video that I keep talking about originated. She was on that showboat. She said she watched the tour boat attempt to get to shore for 11 minutes before it sank around 7:10 p.m. She says the boat was getting lower and lower, and then it just went straight down. Malasky said her family went on the same ride earlier in the day. She said from her vantage point, she could not see whether the passengers were wearing flotation devices while they were on the boat. She said some of the survivors that she saw being pulled from the water were wearing life vests and others were not. Quoting here from Ms. Malasky, it is just surreal. It's just one that you cannot explain the eeriness. Looking into that water, it is indescribable. It is something I hope I never have to see again, but that image is in my head for a long time. Malasky estimated the boat eventually sank a mere 100 feet from shore. 100 feet. 576-7798. Let's go to Lisa in Kansas City. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. My comment would be, if you're not trained, if you know you're not trained, get out of the way and let the people who are can do, let them do it. if you can calm kids, if you can pass a blanket, if you can pass a sweater, do
sure.
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other thing is they might have started filming just because at the end of every incident nowadays, people ask for all footage to be handed in. So they might have done that or thinking that they were just going to be filming something that they would later hand in. But, yeah, like the young man said, at first they knew they didn't want to see the rest of it, so they left the area. I'm not sure you could stay and watch something like that.
I know I couldn't, Lisa, and thank you for the call, because you would know, you would just know there were children on board. We know the dead out of the 17 range in age from 1 to 71. There have been many deaths since 1999. I think the second most disastrous incident happened back in 1999 when 13 people died. That vessel also went down like a rock. We are awaiting an update from the Sheriff's Department out of Branson. We will bring that to you when we can. I am asking, if you were there, would you have helped? We know at least one guy did. We know there were other boats out there based on the dispatch audio pulling people out of that water. But based on this one eyewitness account, she says it took about 11 minutes before that boat sank at 7:10 p.m. 576-7798. Let's go to Brian in KCK. Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dana. I appreciate you taking my call. Now, I don't know that you're going to like this, but I'm really irritated with you and anyone else that's judging this woman for videotaping this, and anybody who didn't help. I believe that if you're not willing, and I'm not saying that you're saying you're not willing to go out and help. You're not saying that. But if you're going to say, if somebody's going to say, let me change it to that. If somebody's going to say that they're not willing to help or they can't help, then they have no room to judge anybody for doing anything else other than helping. There's a witness to history in every historical event. I believe this woman that videotaped this was that person that was a witness to history. Now, I've also seen the video, and judging by how choppy the water is, those boats are not designed for that kind of water.
Sure.
If they had the time to get out, then they should have taken that time to get out of the water, to at least get to shore. But if you guys were saying, and what that woman was saying was accurate, and they were 100 feet off from shore,
yeah,
that lake gets very deep at 100 feet. I don't know how deep it is overall, but that water gets very deep, and that the water gets even more choppy as the water gets deep. So you're not, even if you're in a large boat, it's going to take you a long time to get through that choppy water to get to somebody.
Sure. Brian, I understand what you're saying about the witness to history. I do. But the first thing that woman did was publicly post it to Facebook. And, it was immediately viewed and shared before family members even knew that their dead loved ones were on the bottom of that lake. And I will tell you, before she took the post down, she was roundly skewered for posting that. And so you can say, yes, maybe she wanted to give the video to the NTSB, or maybe she wanted to be a witness to history, and that's fine. My gut tells me she just wanted to share something sensational. I don't know why your first reaction in the moments after you witnessed that boat go down, it would be to post it on Facebook and say, oh my gosh, this just happened right in front of us, not sure if there are any survivors. Well, no, ding-a-ling. There aren't going to be many survivors. 576-7798. You can text me at 22980. Time to get to the news. Here's Kara Marxer.
The White House releasing a statement in the wake of the dunk boat tragedy in Branson. More next.
Hey, if you or an older parent is looking for a fun, gorgeous retirement community, check out Silvercrest at Deer Creek and Silvercrest at College View. Gorgeous wooded views, 24/7 on-site security, and all of the amenities of today's modern retirement communities. Three meals a day, they got housekeeping services out there, and travel in the heart of beautiful Southern Overland Park. They have staff members out there who have been there for 10, 20 years.
One- and two-bedroom apartment homes are available now for anyone over age 55. And traditional assisted living services are there, too, if you need that. Check out Silvercrest at Deer Creek and Silvercrest at College View. Ask any resident over the age of 55. They'll tell you, we wish we would have done this years ago. Go to SilvercrestKansasCity.com. SilvercrestKansasCity.com.
2:32 in Kansas City from the KMBZ newsroom. I'm Kara Markser, the president and first lady, extending sympathies to the families of the victims of last night's duck boat accident in Branson. A statement from the White House says they are continuing to keep in contact with Governor Mike Parson and other state and local officials as the investigation unfolds. The bodies of 17 people have been pulled from the water. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and South Korea's foreign minister today briefing the United Nations Security Council on the current status of the North Korea denuclearization effort and saying the implementation of sanctions against the secretive regime must happen. Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley saying that China and Russia blocked a U.S. request at the UN for the suspension of all oil transfers to North Korea.
The U.S. put yesterday a halt to all additional refined petroleum shipments to North Korea. China and Russia blocked it.
Haley saying those two countries claimed they needed more information on the issue. We'll check traffic and weather together next.
I'm telling you, summer is here. Call my good folks at Seal Once KC and have them come out and protect those investments on the outside of your house, your deck, your driveway, your patio, your garage floor. Seal Once KC is here to permanently protect and beautify those areas. We had a listener come up a couple of weeks ago at one of our live remotes, and they said, we just did our garage floor. We're getting ready to do our basement floor. It looks amazing. I told a girlfriend the other day, she was thinking about putting carpet in her basement. I said, do not put carpet in your basement, especially if you have kids. Have Seal Once KC come out and put that permanent polymer decorative coating down on the ground. It looks so great, and when something spills, you take a wet cloth to it, a mop, and you're done. It is the easiest thing to keep clean. Who wants to think about the cost of replacing some of those big ticket items? Your deck, your driveway, your patio, that stuff. Seal Once KC offers a 25-year warranty against deterioration. Remember, with Seal Once, you can seal it and forget it. Inside and out, go to sealoncekc.com. Call 816-942-3927 today. 816-942-3927 today.
We still have a boundary nearby, and we cannot rule out a hit-or-miss shower or thunderstorm trying to crop up as we finish off this Friday. Otherwise, partly cloudy conditions here. We're going to heat up to the low 90s and then generally clear for tonight, our low settling to the upper 60s. High pressure taking on over, a dry go of it for all of your weekend plans. Plenty of sunshine through Saturday, the high upper 80s. Sunshine in upper 80s again on Sunday, and we're keeping it dry on Monday. I'm staff meteorologist Jennifer Naramore, KMBZ Weather.
83 at KCI. It's 87 in Lee's Summit, 85 right now at your official weather station. KMBZ is now on radio.com. Download the app and take us everywhere you go. Kara Marks, our News 98.1 KMBZ.
Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Your keyword to cash this hour is paint, P-A-I-N-T. Text that to 72881 for your chance at $1,000. We are continuing our coverage today. It just popped up on CNN. This is a worldwide headline, sadly, today after what happened overnight in Branson. And we are starting to hear from some of the witnesses who were either on the dock nearby, on a docked boat nearby. And we're asking, like, who would help and who wouldn't help? And what camp are you in and why? And a listener just wrote into the KMBZ Facebook page and said, I would absolutely help. I would dive right in. I wouldn't even think a second thing about it. Also, I'm a trained first responder. 576-7798. And I want to go to Claude in KC because I think I'm going to agree with what you're about to say. Claude, go ahead. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. You had asked, you know, how long did the people have to get out? And I rode those ducks a couple years ago. And if you can imagine like a school bus with the windows taken out. That's kind of like what it is. It's got a metal canopy over the top. If that thing starts to sink and you can't get out through the window where the window would be right away,
yeah,
the top's just going to force you down.
It's a coffin, actually. It becomes a literal coffin on the water.
Yes. I actually live on Table Rock Lake, not so far from where that incident happened. I know that area very well. I've been out there many, many times. That's one of the deepest parts of the lake. It's not very far from the dam. The bottom of the dam is 200 feet. That's how deep it is at the dam. So I know it's a very deep part of the lake. I would not have got in there given the conditions yesterday. I've never seen the lake as choppy as it was, as I saw it yesterday. And I'm also, well, I'm not anymore. At one time I was a certified first responder. And one of the first rules that you ask yourself is, can you do it safely? Because you don't want to become another victim. And if I had not had a life jacket on myself, there's no way I would have jumped in the water. I'm sorry, but there's no point in having other people get killed as well.
Claude, one of the things that, and we're going to get into this a little bit next hour, is if you are in an emergency situation like that, what do you do? And, you know, we know from witness accounts that some people were wearing life preservers and some were not. That I have trouble understanding. If they truly had about 11 minutes, knowing that their outcome might not be a positive one, I would think if there were enough life jackets on that boat, every single person would have had a life jacket on. Now, I believe that four of the victims were found inside that coffin, literal coffin, at the bottom. But one of the things I said to a buddy of mine is, like, once you start to realize in a vessel like that, that things are looking bad, because we know 14 people survived, if you have a life jacket on, isn't the safest but scariest thing to do is jump overboard, get away from that vessel that you know is going to go down. It goes against everything you probably think you should do, but I'm wondering if the 14 who survived got off or out of that vessel before, in that 11 minutes, it sank directly to the bottom. Because once that boat goes down, especially if you are wearing a life jacket, I just don't see how there is a way out. I just don't. Chris Ketz from KMBC 9 Channel News just arrived on scene. I promised we would check in, and we will. What is the latest there from Table Rock Lake, Chris?
It sounds like it's going to be Monday before they, before the National Transportation Safety Board and the Coast Guard will be bringing up the duck boat in question. That is now sitting about, 80 feet from the surface, 100 feet from the shore here at Table Rock Lake. It doesn't appear, the NTSB is here, it doesn't appear as if there's going to be another briefing, either from the Stone County Sheriff or the NTSB. At least the NTSB hasn't announced anything yet. We kept hearing that there might be some sort of an initial briefing from the NTSB once they got on the ground, once they got the bearings, once they got to work. But here it is that we're coming up on 3 o'clock, and we've yet to hear that anything's been scheduled yet. So the chances, perhaps, of hearing from federal investigators who are going to be at the center of this investigation, the chances of hearing from them maybe getting slim, but...
You know, Chris, and hey, Chris, can you hear me? Chris, your volume is a little low. I want to ask you, we know that when there is a mass casualty incident like this, it is not unusual at all for the NTSB to show up in mass to try and figure out what happened. What's interesting about the NTSB and these duck boats is that they delivered a warning years ago about this type of vessel, if not this company, with respect to that canopy, that top layer that they warned many years ago was dangerous and could trap passengers inside if something went wrong. I think it's going to be interesting to see, because I think the NTSB can make recommendations, but those recommendations had no teeth. It's going to be interesting to see if they address that. This is not their first rodeo with these boats.
Whenever there's an accident involving transportation, whether it's aviation, whether it's marine, whatever it is, the NTSB has
has the ability to make recommendations, to make safety recommendations, but ultimately it's the federal regulatory agency that is in charge of actually implementing any sort of changes in how things are done. You talk to NTSB investigators down through the years, and they will tell you that can be a source of frustration depending on the particular case. Whether anything different is going to come out of this is probably way too soon to say just yet. But that is something that, the NTSB will have so many questions that they want answers to, that they're just beginning their work now. And certainly, first and foremost, how much of a warning did the captain and the person who was driving this boat have? And certainly life preservers. How many people were wearing them? How many weren't? The whole issue of canopies on these duck boats will certainly be addressed again, I'm sure. Whether the fact that this duck boat had a canopy and whether it had anything to do with the deaths in this particular case, probably too soon to say as well. But again, there's an awful lot of questions out there to be answered, a lot of information to be gotten.
Well, we will check back. Thank you for calling in. If the NTSB delivers a briefing, we will certainly bring that to our listeners as it happens. It is worth noting that 13 people died, more than half of the passengers back in 1999. 13 people died on a duck boat in Arkansas, and 7 of those dead passengers were still trapped inside because of that canopy. And the NTSB at the time said contributing to the high loss of life was that continuous canopy roof that entrapped passengers within that sinking vehicle. It's sort of like getting out of an airplane. An attorney who has brought lawsuits against duck boat operators told the Kansas City Star Friday, "This is not an open-sided boat where you can just pitch yourself over the side." And then listen to this quote from the NTSB former chairman. He was in that chair seat at the time of the Arkansas disaster. His name is Jim Hall. He says, "The bottom line is, why are these boats still being used? These boats were not designed for recreational use, especially with large numbers of people and weather like this." Continuing this quote here, "The operator and the regulators know the danger. So to see these repeat occurrences, it is just infuriating." That is Jim Hall, the former chair of the NTSB, speaking directly about the tragedy in Branson.
I had no idea that ducks were dangerous. My grandparents, we used to go to Branson every single summer growing up as a kid, to the point that I'm like, I don't want to go to Branson. I rode the ducks many times. A lot of times when they're out on the water full of people, they'll pick a kid and have him come up and steer for a second.
Yeah.
I was that kid once.
Yeah.
I've been on those ducks. I've always been fascinated by them. I think they're really cool. It's a great big giant deuce and a half, army vehicle that you could drive down a boat ramp and across the lake. I think they're cool. I had no idea they were dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you this. Like with all catastrophic disasters, and the NTSB, that's what they're there for. We'll get to the bottom of this. This is not going to be one failure. It is going to be multiple failures. And it'll be interesting to see what they have to say. And again, if they take the microphone today down there, we will tune in and bring you that as it happens. Your keyword to cash, once again, is paint, P-A-I-N-T. Text that to 72881 for your chance at $1,000. More of your calls, your text straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. You know the right hire can have such an impact on your business, so it is crucial to make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. You could try posting on a job board, but do you really know who will see it? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is your post is matched to the best people for the job. That is probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn.
Right now, go to LinkedIn.com/Dana. Get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/Dana for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you are closer than you think. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Scott is off on a college tour with his kiddo today. We'll be back on Monday. I do want to remind you, as angry as I am about the video and the doing nothing and the people that took the video, there was somebody else who also apparently posted some very graphic video overnight of first responders attempting CPR on some of the victims who did not survive. So I will just let that statement stand because I'm not sure what else to say about that. Let's go to Jerry in Lawrence. Hi, Jerry. Welcome.
Hi, Dana. Hey.
Hi.
I want to liken back, though, to the what you were talking at about initially, which was the filming, the sitting and filming.
Yeah.
I had not heard about this until I read your tweet this morning, so I immediately turned on the news. And, of course, they were covering it. And unless I'm mistaken, the news, national news, indicated that 911 had not been called for a number of minutes.
Yep.
And if this is, in fact, the case, then why the hell were these people filming it? And instead of that, and I love the person who called earlier and said, well, maybe it was because, you know, everybody would knew that they were going to need footage. I wish I could feel that way. But the reason they had their cameras up was something was happening and they wanted to be able to be famous.
Yeah, she posted it directly to Facebook.
Yes, and then she got on the news this morning.
I want to read just real quick, and then I want your reaction, Jerry, some of the, because I know I'm not alone in my disgust. I know I'm not. Some of the reaction to her Facebook post before she removed it. Why in the world would you record this? What the heck is wrong with you? From Allison, I feel like this needs to be taken down, at least the second video. I'm not hating on this woman, but knowing there are fatalities involved, why not take down the footage of the deaths as it happened? And then finally, Shauna writes, I don't understand why people sit and watch and didn't scream. These people needed help. These people lost their lives, in all caps. How in the hell do you have a heart to sit and record this? And then I cannot read the rest of that because it's expletive filled.
Sure.
Finally, Leandra Myers says, I cannot express the disgust I feel for the posting of that final video in particular. Family members living their loved ones' horrific final moments.
I couldn't agree more. I guess to answer two of or comment on one and answer the other question that you have asked, and I'll answer it first. I have 100% assurity that I would have done something. I probably would have. I'm not a first responder, so I probably would have died. But there had to have been something I could do. And then the second thing is get off of the phone from filming it and use it what it's supposed to be for, which is a phone, and dial 911.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said earlier, Dana, they had, 10 minutes, 14 minutes? I can't wrap my head around the fact that something couldn't have been
done sooner. Jerry, thank you for the call. I want to read to you the definition of groupthink. Groupthink is a psychological phenomenon that occurs when a group of people in which the desire for harmony or conformity in the group results in an irrational or dysfunctional decision-making outcome. I do believe this was groupthink at its worst. Nobody else was getting up. Nobody else was calling. Everyone just assumes someone else has called for help. So I'll record it because surely this boat's going down. I mean, someone's calling for help, right? 5767798. More of your thoughts on this story straight ahead. It is time now to get to the news. Here is Kara Markser.
Happening now on KMBZ, we are hearing from some of the people who tried to save the victims of the duck boat accident. That's next.
Dana right here for CMOs and Son. Yes, you heard Scott bragging about their Generac home standby generators, and he should be bragging about those because they have a deal right now for you that is unmatched since I have been bragging about them on KMBZ. Call my guys at CMOs and Son now. If you have ever even thought about getting a generator to keep the lights on in your home, do it now, and here's why. They are offering a free 10-year, this is now a 10-year, parts and labor warranty that is valued at over $1,000 on all qualifying Generac home standby generator units. You know, power outages are more common in the summer. Storms, overloaded electrical equipment due to the increased demand for power, they cause more outages. Adding to the likelihood of losing power is that there are more thunderstorms in the summer, which knock trees down. We've seen it here. Break power lines. Do not get left in the dark. Prevent sump pump outages. Go now and get that free 10-year parts and labor warranty valued at over $1,000 on all qualifying Generac generator units. You only have until the end of August to get this done. So have them come out for a free estimate now. 816-781-4707, 816-781-4707, or cmmoesandson.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.